Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here. And we're back to the trip reports on Mondays. That's what we do. And we're heading down to Bentonville, Arkansas with listener Missy. And we're going to talk about her trip staying at the Boardwalk Villas in a two-bedroom block off, which is a sweet unit, in January, late January, early February with her crew of five, three kids. And they had a great time visiting the theme parks, great meals at Sci-Fi, Garden Grill, Yak and Yeti. We talk about great tips for making the most out of these times where things are a bit different when your family's been many times before. It's a fun conversation, and I hope you really enjoy it. Don't forget three ways to support the show. Book your next trip with the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Just visit their site at themagicforless.com. You can use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you'd like to become a patron and get an extra show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest, for all the details, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1886 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a wonderful yet kind of chilly weekend here in the Midwest. But hey, you can't complain. We're moving towards the long summer nights. Apparently, all I see on Twitter and on our local news is cicada are pending. So this is going to be a loud summer, but hopefully a great summer for all of us. And you know what? We're going to jump into another work week as we've been doing forever, you know, but things are getting back to normal. And the best way to do that is with a fun trip report. We didn't have one last Monday. Scott and I kind of hijacked the show, but today we're back to the trip reports, and I'm excited to welcome Missy to the show from down to the south of me, down in Arkansas. Missy, what's going on?
We're excited to talk Disney anytime we can talk about our favorite place.
Absolutely. So we are going to talk about your trip that you took towards the end of January, beginning of February. So just a couple of months ago. But before we do that, it's kind of one of my favorite things. I started doing about a year ago. What's your backstory? Why are you listening to a Disney podcast? Growing up, were you lucky enough, unlike me, to get to go to the parks and stuff like that? Did you watch a lot of Disney on TV? What's your story?
So yes, watched a ton of Disney on TV, grew up in a very rural area, but happened to have access to the Disney Channel. So we watched a lot of that. No, my husband and I, neither one grew up going to Disney. I went to a Disney park for the first time when I was 17, went to Disneyland for my senior trip with family. And we just went for a couple of days, but loved the atmosphere and things. So fast forward, married, have three kids. Our oldest, who's now 15, when he was 7, about to turn 8, we decided, like, we need to take him because the magic's going to be gone if we don't do it soon.
It goes away. And you got to hurry. You got to do it. Disney's they do a good job with that, don't they? Yeah, if you don't go now, it's never going to be there.
It's never going to be the right time again. And so we talked my parents into going with us because, crazy me, we took a 7-year-old, a not quite 3-year-old, and an 18-month-old. So took grandparents with us, and my husband swore it was going to be our only ever once-in-a-lifetime Disney trip. We went, and I think before we even got on the plane to come back, he was like, when are we coming back?
That's a successful trip.
When someone's out of diapers, that's when we'll come back.
But you know, here's the thing, and I've said this for years, and I never thought that it would come to this. You know, when I was thinking about talking about, you know, trip planning and my personal experiences, because I was a dad that I wasn't really great at changing diapers. I have a really simple like gag reflex. Like I just wasn't good at it. So like I wasn't a super hand. I mean, I would watch her, but I would, you know, I wasn't super hands on. Unfortunately, when I got married, Paige was already 4. So we were past all this stuff. That was good because I'm her stepdad. But the thing is, what I learned was when Mallory was 6 months old, her first trip, piece of cake, right? Because she's not like asking for everything. She's not running around. You know, you just had to give her a bottle when she needed it. You'd change her. She'd sleep in the stroller. Didn't go during a super hot time. Now, when they get to be, Lord help you, when they're like 3 or 4. I mean, like, I see these parents. We have a listener, Megan. She has triplet boys. Like, they're 8. I'm like, no. I'm like, I know that you want to go to Walt Disney World, but like, how? Like, I can't imagine. Like, I taught second grade. I know. No, I couldn't
grandparents.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a great tip, right? I mean, did it help? Because you have more hands to kind of spread out the work. Plus, the grandparents are probably treasuring that time with the kids.
Oh, they loved it. I think my parents might love Disney World now more than my kids do. So yes, it helped with management of the kids, because especially with, we have a huge age spread, right, with our kids, because we have currently they're 15, 10, and going to be 9 on Saturday. So sometimes finding things that all three of them will like to do is hard. And so it helped to be able to split up and go, hey, you take the two little ones and go see this, and we're going to take Big and we're going to go ride Splash Mountain. Because if my middle, he doesn't like for brother to get to do things that he doesn't get to, like, right. He didn't understand why I can't get on Splash Mountain. It looks really fun. He's my thrill seeker too. He's like, I'm going to like it more than he is. Right. Why are they letting him on? So it helped with that. But also being a family of 5, booking a room for 5 mm-hmm. can sometimes be really difficult. And so we would just book adjoining rooms. And I found that Disney was super accommodating when I was like, hey, one child's going to sleep in the grandparents' room. And so they just made sure we had adjoining rooms. We've done that a couple times. And we take turns sleeping in Grandma and Papa's room. And that it's worked well for us. Now that they're older, grandparents aren't going with us as much. And we don't need them as much.
We won't let them hear that. We won't let them hear this. That's funny.
So anyway, that's kind of how we started. We stayed at Caribbean Beach the first trip. So it does have a little bit, I heard Scott talking the other night, a little sentimental value there. We went by it on the Skyliner this trip. But we haven't stayed there again. We need to go back because I think they've refurbished and things like that. But anyway, so then we went a few more times in between and went down and kind of got hooked into the DVC thing. Didn't do it while we were on property. Got home. My husband, he's our financial numbers guy. I'm just the fun girl. I'm like, well, it seems fun.
Yeah, exactly.
We should do it.
Here, where do I sign?
Yeah. It's funny. I was a math coach for a while in our school district. And I like Disney math way better than
for real. Yes.
The math I do at school.
It costs more, but I mean, I can't not do it, right? I mean, that extra night, the plane ticket will be $12 cheaper if I stay another $200 night. You know, hey, we got to do it. Yeah, I get it.
But he did the nitty gritty for us and was like, you know what, let's do it. So we did, and has been one of the best things, I think, for us to be DVC, because we booking a room for 5 and having room can sometimes be stressful and trying to find one. Anyway, so it's worked out well for us.
Well, especially a group of 5. I mean, because right now, I mean, with Port Orleans, I mean, just speaking purely from a travel agent point of view, that with Port Orleans Riverside out of the inventory for right now, you know, it could come back next week. You know, we don't know. That was always kind of a go-to. You talked about that in the Caribbean Beach out of the 5th sleeper rooms. But, you know, I've always said, and you mentioned a great point, just strictly trip planning for folks that are looking, that are in a situation like you that have 5, 6 in the family, that the adjoining rooms, they're a good idea at a value or a moderate. And you mentioned, you know, with the grandparents having a room, the kids could kind of shift back and forth. But it gives you 2 bathrooms, which in the morning when you're trying to get ready is a huge plus. And it does give kind of a little bit more privacy than putting 5 people in one room. You know, it's just, there's not much privacy in a 2 queen room, but it feels like you have just a little bit more personal space. And so you bring up a great point.
When our children were little, again, great divide in, you know, years separating, bedtimes weren't the same. So it helped with that too. Oldest could stay up, maybe go to the pool with us, and grandparents could put little ones to bed. It just worked out well for us.
All right, one more question. One more question before we hop into the trip, because I'll make sure we have plenty of time to talk about that. But
yeah.
With this spread of the ages of the kids, like when you're getting ready to go, and they've gone now, you know, more than multiple times. So how do
they have
get,
opinions
like,
now, yes.
Exactly. But I mean, how do they get ready? Do they still get excited? Do they go and watch YouTube videos? Do they have what's the getting excited, like a month out, 2 weeks out? Like, what's that like in your house?
A month? We start counting down like
a year, whatever it takes. Yeah, I get it.
Today is day 80 until our next one. So when they were little, I did some countdown kind of things, like, you know, fun. I would have the Mickey. I had like the huge Mickey balloon, and every day he'd be holding a different sign for the number of days, and he would just float around our house.
Shut up. That's awesome.
Kindergarten teacher, okay?
Yeah, totally. I'm like, that is too cool.
But they do. Today, we watch about once a day when we're counting down to a trip, we'll watch a YouTube video of some kind. My middle loves like the TPM vids. I don't, they all kind of have ones that they, and so they'll kind of like, I don't know, scout them out and then bring them to the family. Like, we should watch this one or we should watch that one. And so, yeah, and they definitely have opinions. Like, they know we have 20 days until time to book dining for our next trip. And so I'm already like, I feel like they're, I'm losing my word, but lobbyists, like they're little lobbyists for what they want. Like when they have me alone, they're like, so were you thinking we should probably go to the boathouse? Don't you think? Like, oh, your brother already talked to me about this one.
They're smart. Boy. That's a great, that'll serve them well later in life.
I don't know. I don't know if we're doing them well or creating little monsters. I'm not sure. But so yeah, there's lots of getting excited. They start looking when we go to stores for new shirts to get to take with them, like, you know, tank tops or whatever. When we run in Walmart, like, oh, mom, like a new Minnie Mouse bathing suit. Can I grab that? So lots of prep. Disney's probably talked about in our house at least once a day.
Oh, yeah. So, well, so same, because we're headed down less than 2 weeks when this comes out. And yeah, it's totally taken over. It's a business trip. I got to remember that because it's for cheerleading championships. So Mallory can't go into the parks until Sunday, and we get there on Thursday. That's hard. But Dad isn't on the cheerleading squad. Dad has an annual pass. And Dad has theme park reservations. So I'm just saying. She might have to go do some stuff by herself. Anyway,
we have tried to do, like, I did the half in 2019. And I tried to just, because I was teaching then, I tried to just like do a weekend with my friend that was running with me. Like, I'll leave on Thursday, so I don't have, you know, sub plans.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like, fewest amount of those I had to do. Oh, no. Whole family went for 3 days.
Yeah. Dopey Challenge was really hard being a school teacher, because like you had to be there really Wednesday to get your stuff. Because then you had, like, I was like, God, the 5K, like this 45-minute little race is causing me all this grief with my administration, you know, like, but I got to do the dopey.
Yeah. So anyway, we don't get away to Disney without them.
For real. I know. I get it. Yeah. Mallory gets mad. Cause I've gone down for a couple of media things. Like, why can't I go? Cause you weren't invited. Your name's not on the invitation. You don't have a podcast. That's what I thought. She gets mad, but I'm like, I'll buy you a souvenir. All right. So let's kind of hop into your trip here that you took back in January. And I want to start off with where you stayed, because it is one of my favorite resorts. Now the hotel proper right now is not available. It's a Boardwalk Inn. That is not open right now. Hopefully that returns soon too. Kind of like Riverside. It's like they're closing all my favorite places. But you guys stayed at the Villas. So walk us through how that worked out for you, because I heard you guys had a pretty sweet setup over there.
We did. It was wonderful. So we are, Polynesian is our home resort for DVC. So we're used to that studio for all five of us, which works great. Like, no complaints, because we are park people, like rope drop to close. Anyway, typically before COVID. So we had I was able to really make great use of our points and get a 2-bedroom lock off at Boardwalk with a feature pool view.
Nice.
So it was pretty great. My kids are virtual, so I knew we were going to need some like quiet space and room for people to do their schoolwork. That was kind of one of my big motivators for booking at Boardwalk. And we were a little leery because we love our Polly, but we were in that room like 10 minutes and everybody was like, this is awesome.
It is.
And it was wonderful. So we've just always liked the vibe there of the atmosphere of the Boardwalk and the lights. And but probably our biggest draw, the thing we love the most, we discovered after we got there, was being able to walk to Epcot and Hollywood Studios.
Right. And at Boardwalk Villas, especially in the Villas, you are really close to the studios. Yeah. I mean, because the Villas, they're halfway down the path already towards the studios. Yeah, it's a great spot.
It was fabulous. And you know what? Just that morning walk was so peaceful and just kind of, you're about to enter this park that you know is going to be just, let's go.
Yeah, totally.
So it was nice to just kind of ease our way, and I didn't feel nearly as frantic when we got to the park. Like, I felt more like ready for the day and not like I just fought myself on the bus. Like, everybody get a seat.
True. But then once you get on Hollywood Boulevard, all bets are off.
Exactly. But then the walk back that night was wonderful, too. It was just so peaceful and a great way to just kind of decompress from being like we had some great conversation walking back from Hollywood Studios about our day. So that was a good time. We made use of the Boardwalk Bakery mobile delivery or mobile order several times in the mornings. We do always, and I'm sure most people do, we use Amazon Prime Now.
Same.
Just had some things. I placed the order when we got there. And then, so one of our big things we wanted to do was do the Skyliner because we hadn't been. The last time we were there was 2019 when I ran the half and we were just there for a few days. So, it's open since then. So that was our big plan the first night. My middle, who's waving at me across the table right now, he and I were like, we want to do the Skyliner. So as soon as we arrived from the airport, we kind of just took a deep breath, got out of the mask for a minute, changed mask, and we took off and walked down to Skyliner Station and took it over to the Riviera to have dinner. And we ate the most fabulous sandwiches at Primo Piatto.
Right.
Delta, I always say.
Yeah, Primo Piatto. I love that place. They're so good.
So good.
It is so good.
So good. And I will say I was super impressed. I know with COVID, I have a lot of anxiety about that due to some things that just in our family and stuff. We were out there in the courtyard waiting on our order, and one of my kiddos wanted to get in one of the swings out there, and there were some people in that swing, and they got up, and as soon as they got up, there was a cast member there wiping the whole thing down, and then she was like, would you like this? And like that just made me feel so much better for the rest of the trip, like that there was such attention paid to that.
Yeah, to make sure everybody's safe. Yeah, and I mean, just to be attentive enough to see, okay, we got a kind of a switch here. Somebody's going to jump on there quick. I got to hop in before this happens.
Yeah.
And let me just say, your kids have great taste because that is exactly what I do. I swing on the swings while I wait for my food at Primo Piatto. We think just alike. I mean, ask Scott. That's what I did last time I was down there. It's perfect.
Well, weather was beautiful. It was a little chilly, but compared to Arkansas in January, it was fabulous.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I don't know if you've had the Italian sandwich from there, but 3 out of 5 of us got it and we all gave it 5 stars. So,
hey, I'll trust anything.
You're there.
I'll trust anything because I've had the that breakfast sandwich. It is just amazing with the cheese on top. And then I've had the burger twice and the rib. They don't have the rib burger now, but they have a burger and it's just as good. So I'll eat anything coming out of that kitchen. And the fries are amazing.
Delicious.
Yeah.
So by that time we were all kind of wiped. So we just took the Skyliner back. I would say Skyliner, we have split decision in our family on the Skyliner. Some of us love it. Some of us did not enjoy hanging over the highway when it stopped and swinging back and forth in the breeze. Just a little.
Well, it depends how long you're up there. And you know,
exactly. It's a little bit.
But
it was also nighttime, which I think kind of, anyway, I think everyone would have ridden it again had we taken the opportunity to do that. So anyway, we just went back to the hotel and crashed after that. Kids had a little bit of schoolwork they had to catch up on. And I will say, we kind of planned this trip. We left on a Wednesday. My kids have asynchronous learning on Fridays. And so we kind of planned it so they wouldn't have huge amounts of work to do while we were there. Like just enough that they could finish it like in the mornings before we left or when we got back in the evenings. So
that's a good idea.
And
that's the thing, like those asynchronous days, my wife does that on Fridays as well with her students. And you know that with those days, a lot of teachers will work with you to, I don't even know if they do this like in general, but I mean, you know what the assignments will be for that day to complete.
Yeah.
So you can eat, you know, maybe even before you leave home, knock them out, or, you know, you can, you know, be proactive and say, okay, before we leave, let's get this little math thing done. And then maybe, you know, we'll come back, take a midday break before you take a nap or go swimming. We'll knock out a little language arts and then go from there. Kind of things like that.
Well, and we even did, because we left on a Wednesday, so they did have those assignments. We had a layover in Dallas, and so they busted out their Chromebooks in the airport and did that instead of, you know, playing on the iPad. And that way, when we arrived, they were ready to go.
Yes.
We had all of that taken care of. Anyway, we were kind of spent from travel. You know, you've been in your house pretty much for that. This is the real world.
It's crazy. We were exhausted. There's other people besides us.
So got back to the room, and then our Amazon order didn't arrive until almost midnight, but that's another story. It arrived. That's the most important thing. So got up the next day was our Hollywood Studios day. And so we have not ridden Rise. So I had a lot of pressure on getting
I no kidding. That thing, just the idea of riding Rise, like, gives you gray hair. I'm just saying, like, I get it.
We try not to have it be a make it or break it kind of thing. But also, Mom, come on now.
I know. It's like, you feel like you're a failure if you don't get it, even though it's like, you know, I mean, somebody's not going to get it. And it doesn't mean they did anything wrong. It's a crapshoot. Really, it is.
Right. And I really think it is, because my husband and I both had our phones open on refresh, 750, like 758, just refresh, and we didn't get it.
Wait, you said 758. That might be why you didn't get it.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I was going to say, no. Okay, just making sure, because trust me, the emails will come in if I don't say that. I'll be answering.
Wrong
no, she
time.
Meant 658.
Wrong.
658.
That's what time I'm zone difference. Sorry.
That's exactly right, I know.
Yes. So, yes, I didn't know what time we were supposed to be.
Because everybody would
be doing it. That's not why.
That's why. I'm like, no.
Pop up, but then it, like, on my husband's phone, he was like, oh, I think I'm in. And then it was gone. Like,
oh, that's even worse.
It was gone. Yeah. So, and I really, after listening to some of your other shows, I'm wondering if it wasn't because we were on the hotel Wi-Fi. I'm wondering if I hadn't have walked down to get our coffee and tried.
Right. See, I do that now. I shouldn't have said. See, I'm like a 12-year-old, but because it's your kids. Probably gonna get, that was for your kids right there. But no, I always go on the LTE and I get away from my buildings, especially like if I'm at Pop Century or Caribbean Beach, because for a decade, I've had horrible cell service at both of those hotels. So I make sure I'm like standing where there's not even trees by me. It matters. I mean, this is how important this thing is, right? I'm standing up.
Right.
There could be a lightning storm, and I'm still like, well, I'll take my chances. it's not bad. Well, if I get struck down, I just didn't get a boarding group, and that's, I'll see you guys later. I mean, it's that bad. Well, it's crazy.
Yeah, so we didn't get it, and we were a little bit sad, but we were also like, you know what? We're at Disney. Like, we haven't been here in 2 years. Like,
right.
We were excited. We're not going to let it ruin our day. There's still lots of things to do, and we can try again later. So we went ahead and walked on over to the studios, and just as soon as we walked in, I think we got there about 20 minutes before the park really opened. And it was kind of funny because we're all just kind of walking, and then you get closer and you see all the people. And so we just started walking faster.
Right. It's like, hey, everybody's moving fast. I better move fast. I don't know where we're going, but we're going to be moving fast somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we moved really fast to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which we hadn't done either. And we just decided this trip was kind of hard for me. I'm a planner. And I'm like the fast pass planner, the meal planner, all of that. And I want to talk about what we did with dining a little bit later. But anyway, they were like, here's a line. Let's just get in it. And it went so fast. We were in and out of Mickey and Minnie's in like 25 minutes.
Now, let me ask you this real quick, because while you're talking about this, because you have kids that have experience, did they kind of freak out at first glance at the lines? Because the lines, like, for example, right now, Peter Pan. You go through Columbia Harbor House. Now, I've told Mallory this like 28,000 times already. I'm like, okay, when we go into the Magic Kingdom, and then she's been there since park reopened, but there was nobody there in August when we were there.
Right.
I'm like, it's going to look like it's crazy. Like, we may get in line and we may not even be in the same land as the attraction, because she knows, because she's been on these rides 100 times.
Yeah.
We're going to do it because it's going to keep moving. It's just going to look way worse than it actually is. But I think with her little stubborn head, because she's my stubborn kid, because I'm stubborn, she's going to have a hard time. Did your kids kind of balk at first, and then maybe a couple attractions in, they're like, okay, we kind of figured it out. It's not going to be as bad.
Well, we had a whole lot of conversation about it before we went. We had to have a lot of conversation about it's going to look different.
Right.
Because there were a lot of things. I think I told you earlier, like, we always eat Ohana our first morning.
Yeah, well.
That is just tradition. And so you're like, you know, we can't do that. And they're like, we're like, but now we can do this. And so we just had a lot of prep conversations about it. And some of that's the teacher in me, like, Right. I want to set your expectations.
Exactly.
So going in,
clear
know.
Expectations, and we all follow them, and everything's good. Yeah,
right.
Totally.
And it's going to be good, and we're going to find the good things and not mourn the sad things, because we are very fortunate to be here.
Right.
So it helped so much. The thing you said that was most key for my kids was that it kept moving.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I think if we had been stationary, it would have been a lot harder. But the fact that we were walking towards the goal the whole time.
And you're always, it's almost like you're Pac-Man, right? Because you're always going for the next dot. It's like dot, dot, dot. You're Frogger. Boom, boom, boom. You know, and it gives you a target. Oh, there's one open. Go, go, go. You're constantly going. Yeah, I agree. I mean, as long as it's moving, I can handle it.
Yes. The moving helped so much. Now, the one thing I will say, because my kids are rule followers like me, there's some people who don't know how to stand on their dot.
Trust me. Yep. And I just have to, I'm just like, you know what? That's how the world works. Not everybody follows the directions.
And I'm just like, I can get 5-year-olds to stand on a dot.
One time, I got to tell you this, you'll appreciate it because your teacher, quick side note. My kids in sixth grade would not walk in a line for nothing. Like this one year, I had these just knuckleheads that would not ever walk in a line. They're just like a mob going down the hall. It embarrassed me because my classes were always like, I had clear expectations. We had the best, you know, we just did things the right way.
Yeah.
Oldest kids in the school would not walk in a line. This was like Christmas. I'm like, okay, this is it. I went and got a playground rope. I tied like 26 knots in the thing. Everybody had to hold a knot for a week. I'm like, you are going to be properly spaced. If you hold on to that knot, we're all being aligned. But yeah, one of the parents didn't like that. So, but I mean, I was like, I needed, like they needed a concrete. And Disney gives that to us right now, right? With the dots. I mean, like I was trying to give them, because you're moving. The dots would have worked, I guess, back in like 2003 or something. But, you know, I was just like, how can I give them some kind of a prop or some kind of an aid? So, walking for 12-year-olds in a line should not be this hard. Like, because I always told them, if my 6th graders were walking like a big mess, the kindergartners are going to look at us and be like, oh, the cool kids are just, they're walking like they don't know what's going on. We're not going to be the knuckleheads that cause the whole school to fall apart. You know, so it's just,
exactly.
That cracks me up.
Well, I had dots on my floor in my classroom for when we had lined up. So you're not popping anybody's bubble. Just in your own bubble.
I see. Teachers save the world.
So when we got there, I was like, oh, look, spot. Everybody has a spot.
All these 50-year-old people acting like kindergartners. Let's do it. No, that's great. That's great.
No, my husband gets a little frustrated with me sometimes because I'm like, why are they doing that in line? That is not how a line works.
Right. I know. Seriously, civilization breaks down when you can't walk in a line. Just saying.
Yeah. So anyway, that helped. Just moving forward and that helped a lot. So we did Mickey and Minnie's. And then I think from there, I made a note. We popped over to, we went to Galaxy's Edge because we couldn't stand it any longer.
Right.
We had to go see it. So we went over there and we did Smuggler's Run, which was also not a long wait. Just enjoyed the queue. And yes, Ryland's going, hi. He was the pilot.
Oh, man. I've piloted once and it made me sick as a dog because I could not do it. I was terrible.
I know. You piloted twice, didn't you?
Terrible. Yeah. Well, Mallory was the co-pilot. I was the pilot and I got both of us sick, I think. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. I was a little worried because I do get motion sickness quite easily. And I didn't. Like, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
And
when I was the engineer,
it didn't
bother me when I was engineer one time. It was a family of five. And grandma was the other engineer and me. I was the only one that wasn't part of the family. I was by the end of the trip. And grandma and I were the engineers. She kept looking over me. What do I do? I'm like, if something flashes, just punch it, hit it, twist it. I don't know. Just touch it.
I was the engineer. And that's, I was just like, it's flashing. I'll just push a button. I don't know.
It's like, how did something flashes, just flip the switch. I don't know. Let's do
it.
Well,
when they see you that far away from the action, I just figured my job must not be that important.
Exactly. That's what I said. And I was totally fine. Didn't make me sick. But yeah, pilot, no thanks.
Yeah. So we ended up riding it twice. Just because wait times were so great. Like we were able to just, and even if it was a little long, it didn't feel long because you were moving the whole time.
Right.
And I would also say we stopped kind of paying attention to whatever Disney was telling us the wait time was, because it was always significantly lower than the sign or the app was telling us it was going to be. Because I think it was Slinky Dog. It said it had like a 35-minute wait, and we sat down to ride it in 17 minutes.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That's great.
So, speaking of Slinky Dog, we got to ride it 3 times just because of that fact. It was... Anytime we were like, what should we do next? We were like, let's go back to Slinky Dog.
Yes. Nice. I love that coaster.
It was great. So we did Smuggler's Run. We grabbed a Ronto wrap, which was really good. I've got heads shaking across. My husband and I enjoyed the Ronto
wraps. I love Ronto wraps, and I love breakfast Ronto wraps. I could have Ronto wraps all day. I could have a little tuck-me-in Ronto wrap.
One of each. Yeah, we sampled those. One of each is a little snack. And then we had to go do Star Tours because we do it all every time we go. Hit up Toy Story Land. I'm trying to think. Oh, we had reservations that night at Sci-Fi Dine-In, which we've been to before, but it's been a while. My husband says, I don't know how long ago this was, but he thinks he had the best steak of his life at Sci-Fi. Like,
Whoa, hang on. Breaking news. Best steak in the world came from Sci-Fi on some night at some time in the past. Never. That's first. We've done 1,800 podcasts. Never heard that one. There you go.
Like, how tired and hungry were you?
Okay. I've heard hamburger.
I guess it was back when we had two in diapers and we tried
that's
to
good.
Go.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You take what you can get when you got little kids. You know, it's like, you know, White Castle tastes good if you can just, you know, have 5 minutes without kids crying. Yeah, I get
exactly.
It.
So we went there, and actually it was a really good meal. But so we were headed there. I took a tip from you and scheduled it as late as I could. So we would be there and be able to be in the park when it closed and
awesome.
Or after close and log out. But I think what my husband and I had a moment in Hollywood Studios and we were like, we've arrived. We were walking out of Toy Story Land and my husband has a headache issue. So he can't do spinny rides or he'll get like a migraine headache.
Same.
And they make me motion sick. So we don't hardly, our poor children don't really get to do those. There was like no line at the alien spinny saucers. And so my husband asked the cast member, the kids wanted to do it. And he was like, we can't do it. Can they go with the brother? And she was like, yeah, of course. And we were like, our children are riding a ride without us.
For real? I know you're like, we have 7 minutes of joy.
Yeah, we were like, go. Have some fun. So we've gone from pushing babies in diapers around Disney World to now being able to shoo them off. And but they were a little nervous because they had not done this before. And they kept looking back at us like, are you sure? We're like, yeah, it's good. It's good. Go. And my oldest, who's very much a rule follower, they got seated in their saucer. And I guess the cast member, I saw her ask him something. And would she say, how old are you?
Yeah.
She was like, how old are you? And he said, I'm 15.
I'm 21.
I think he thought he was about to get kicked out of alien saucers. And he looked around at us like, we were like, it's okay, buddy. So they rode, that was our monumental thing for this trip. They rode a ride for the first
time, without
a parent.
I mean, you know, that's a memory for them, right? They'll probably talk about that 30 years from now. Remember that time? Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And it opened up a whole new world of rides for them, right? Because They don't get to do teacups.
That spins. Sorry, kid. You can just look. You can't touch.
We really would. Like, don't those kids look like they're having fun? Too bad you can't.
They just look like they're having fun. They're really miserable inside. Yeah, totally.
So that was fun. And I think that was the last ride we did of the day. But like I said, we are a rope drop till close kind of family. So we just kind of had some snacks and it was good. Like, we hadn't been to Hollywood Studios in a while because we didn't get to go there when we were there in 2019 because it was such a short trip. So just kind of enjoyed some of the new things that were available. And
you had a successful day without rides. You got to do all kinds of Star Wars stuff. You had Ronto wraps. You flew the Falcon.
Yeah.
Star Tours, Minnie and Mickey, or Mickey and Minnie's. Minnie and Mickey's. Now I feel like I don't know which way it goes.
I always say it.
You guys, Toy Story Land, awesome. I mean, great day.
I forgot the most important part.
What's that?
So, is it 1 o'clock when you can try again?
I think it's 2 o'clock now. It changed at one point. Yeah.
Okay. So I promise we were like, we will try again. So we walked to Galaxy's Edge. I don't think this had anything to do with it.
You know what though? The Force may smile on you if you're in Galaxy's Edge. That's like, what I say.
Perhaps
why
if
not?
We're there.
Yeah.
I will say I felt like the park capacity went down after that time. Like around between 1 and 2, I felt like the park wasn't as full.
All the disappointed herds just said, we're out of here.
Well, so we went back to Star Wars or to Galaxy's Edge and tried again. We tried and we got one. We got a boarding group.
There you go.
So we were like, all right. So we just kind of walked around and we just kind of enjoyed being in the park until our boarding group came up. and we were able to go ride Rise.
Okay, so, spoiler free though, because there's still a lot of people who haven't got a chance, and I dodge spoilers like crazy until I got to ride it, so I don't want to be the person who does it for anybody else. But did it live up to all the work and all the stress?
I don't really remember it.
Oh my gosh, it's a long attraction too.
I know. Well, I think it was. I say that I remember big parts, but it's so. Just a lot to take in,
I think. Yeah, it is. You're right. It's better the second time, I'll be honest. It is way better the second time.
I think that's what I told my husband. I was like, I think I'll enjoy it more next time. Not that I didn't enjoy it, but I enjoyed watching my boys do it.
Right, yeah.
Because I was kind of watching their faces as we were, and they're, they're oohs and ahs and stuff. And so that was really cool for me the first time. So I'm looking forward to writing it again, so perhaps I can remember some of it.
I know. See, when we go down a couple of weeks, we don't have Holly because Mallory got her ticket late, way late, because it comes through this varsity and through the gym and everything. So by the time we got her ticket, there were no reservations left for the studios. And you know what? We're only gonna be down there for a little bit, and it's like a load off, right? Because I don't have to, like, we're not going to the studios, so I don't have to even worry about any of that. Yeah, and we've done it, so we're good. So I'm not. Right. I'm kind of happy. Yeah. We'll focus on the other parts.
So. I'll be real fast. We went to Sci-Fi, had a great meal, and walked out of the park, and we were like the only people in the park.
That's the best, isn't it? I mean, because the thing is, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities to do that. We did that at the studios and at the Magic Kingdom in August. I'll never get to do that again. I mean, it was just, it was so cool. Like, you get to actually hear the background loop. You see, especially at the studios, all the neon. It's just, it's so pretty.
And we just kind of took our time and meandered out, and the kids were jumping and playing and running. And
right. It's like the only place.
And then we had... But then we were like, oh, we got to walk back to the room.
It's longer than it looks because that little stretch, just anybody that's run the full marathon knows that is mile 25 of the full marathon. And you start contemplating, why did I do this? And you're running along that water. You're just like, oh, Epcot so far away.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds like a good day. That's a good first full day, though.
It was great. Second day was Epcot. We stayed in the room and let the kids do some schoolwork and catch up because it opens later, like at 11. So we just had a lazy morning breakfast. Well, my husband and I had a lazy morning, put them to work on their schoolwork. Right. And we ate dinner that night at Garden Grill, which was great. Being DVC, got to just kind of take a little break in the DVC lounge, which we weren't sure if it would be open, but it was. Mm-hmm. So we went up there, and that was a good... If you're DVC, I would suggest that as like a good mask break. Mm-hmm. It was not crowded at all as some of the other, there was good spacing at the other relaxation stations, but not nearly as many people in the DVC lounge.
Right,
so
right.
You're able to take advantage of that. It was a good spot for us to just take mask off.
Good call.
Chill.
It's cool space anyway. Like I went up there with Scott's family and I was like, it's cool being up here. It's just fun.
Yes, it was fun. My kids always enjoy going. We take more advantage of it probably in the summertime when we can get out of the heat a little bit. So let me see. We walked there from Boardwalk and went straight to Test Track. And so we did Test Track in Soarin'. And then we were like, oh, we're hungry. But where we want to eat is all the way across the lake.
Always.
Because of course it is.
Yeah, of course. Because... I used to always want Mexican, and, you know, Mallory or Paige would only eat something out of, like, Liberty Tavern, you know, back in the day before the Regal Eagle. You know, she'd want, like, chicken nuggets. And then we never could even eat within, like, three countries of each other. It was always a joke. Like, it had to be, like, bink, 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 as far apart as possible with World Circuit. So I totally
understand. That's what we wanted. Regal. Is it Regal Eagle? I always try to call it Beagle.
No,
something.
But
anyway.
Scott bought us Regal Beagle shirts for this summer just to wear to be funny.
Nice. Well, so my husband had a great idea. He was like, why don't we just take the boat? And I was like,
oh, yeah, there's a boat there. It's not just for pretty. Yeah, that's right. It's transportation.
It can be transportation, too. So we took it across and ate there, and it was really good. It was our first experience there, and I think everybody cleaned their plate. I was going to talk really fast about dining because we are dining plan.
Yeah, talk to us about that because that's a big question that folks have.
So we were really disappointed that there was no dining plan available in the beginning, especially my middle who just turned 10. Right. He was like, I'm an adult
that's
on the
right.
Disney dining.
I'm eating it all.
He's been waiting since he was 2.5.
I'm coming hungry to Disney. Get ready.
So what we did, and I don't know if this would work for every family. It worked for us. I got online and kind of did a little research, found out like how much we would have paid for a dining plan for each person. And that was our budget for food.
Right. I've heard that.
We didn't have to spend it, but it was there. So we didn't, because I think what we love about the dining plan is we don't have to worry about, oh, we shouldn't have another snack because we've already spent this much money on snacks today.
That's totally, it's kind of like that's that. Totally, it's what makes it all inclusive kind of thing. It's like, yeah. It reminds me of a cruise, right? I eat like a, right. I eat terrible on a cruise. I'm like, yeah, I'll have that seventh piece of pizza. Who cares? I'm not paying for it. You know, same thing. Yeah.
Yes. And so that was kind of our mindset. Like, we don't want to have to think about it, budget about it, anything about it. We just want to enjoy like we normally would. So that's what we did. We figured the 10-year-old in as an adult and the 9-year-old as a child. And that was it. And so we didn't restrain ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't say, oh, we can't do an ADR because we don't have a dining
room. Right.
So I booked ADRs for every night. Well, not every night, but one a day. Mm-hmm. We had an ADR once a day because that's something we really enjoy and we didn't want to miss out on.
It's part of the experience. I mean, I think it's hard for people that haven't been before to understand that. But, you know, like a Garden Grill isn't just eating breakfast. It's a rotating restaurant with characters. I mean, and it is. Yes. And people are walking by. You're in between a couple of attractions. It's not just eating. It's fun, you know, and that's the whole thing. Right. You know, you go to these like sci-fi. I mean, you're at a simulated drive-in. It's an experience. And I think that's the hardest thing. Like, we always try to do one ADR a day too. Like, some days it'll be breakfast. Most days it'll be dinner. Every once in a while, I'll throw in like kind of a late lunch if we want to do something else. But good point though, because but it's hard to explain until you've done it, until you've been there and seen it. Cause you're like, oh my gosh, it's a meal. Who cares? It's a restaurant.
Right. But it's not. And it's memories too from times we've gone before. Right. And so, but COVID did kind of push us out of our normal eating spots, which was really good because typically we would have been like, oh, we need to go to Beer Garden because that's where we go when we go to Epcot. So it was great to go to Garden Grill. We'd been wanting to go there forever. We really enjoyed it. My husband's favorite ride is Living with the Land.
Yes. So. Your husband is so smart. He's had a great steak at sci-fi and he loves Living with the Land. I'll have to send him my new text tone I made.
Yes. It's a big family joke about Living with the Land.
Right? Yes.
Well, I don't know if we have time for your ride, Dad.
Oh my gosh. I love that ride.
So, did Living with my, I have told him several times when we can do tours again, or you know, private tours or group tours, he's getting the Living with the Land tour as a gift at some point.
Yes, and that's economical. Behind the scenes, one of the cheapest. Yes. There you go. See, smart.
Yes, he's going alone, but he's going. So we did that, and then I think we were just kind of, I think, just exhausted. We had a big Hollywood Studios day, and so we were just kind of like done and spent and ready to go back after gorging ourselves at Garden Grill. But we did make the kids all walk to the very front of the park to see the fountain.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm so excited in a couple weeks.
So it's awesome. We loved it. And they were all about it until they realized that we then had to walk all the way back.
Yeah. And especially nowadays, it feels like you're walking 10 times further right now in Future World, or what used to be Future World, the maze, the labyrinth.
Yeah. So we have a saying in our family. We always say, put on your Disney legs.
Yes. That's a good call.
Put on your Disney legs and we're going. Let's go. We like to hike as a family because there's lots of hiking trails around here. So when they complain about being tired out on a trail, we're like, well, find your Disney legs because we're not done yet.
Everybody needs to adopt that. That's a good call. Yes. Tell your kids.
Anyway, so then we went to Animal Kingdom, which we hadn't been to in a while. That was our third day. And Flight of Passage, because we had not done that yet, which I really enjoyed. I loved Flight of Passage. I don't know that everyone in my family was as big a fan, but I thought it was really fun. My daughter really liked it a lot. And then, of course, we had to go on we went on the safari because we do that every time. But the gorilla trail.
Yeah. Yeah. I love those.
And we became mildly obsessed with one day at Animal Kingdom during.
Yes. On Disney Plus.
Quarantine.
Yes.
Yes. And so we know all the animals by name and we had to go in search of all the animals. My daughter has, I'm surprised it's not in here. She has a 6-foot tall giraffe in her bedroom that is named Kenya from One Day.
Let's clarify. It's stuffed giraffe. Now, you don't.
Yes. I mean, it's a stuffed giraffe.
Just don't get so nobody emails again.
Don't tell her that, but yes.
That's funny.
And you never know where you're going to find it around our house. It just shows up. Kenya goes everywhere.
I like it. That's cool.
So we had to go look for some of those animals that we were so familiar with from that show. So that was great. And then we ate at Yak and Yeti that evening. Oh, and I will say, character cavalcades. Oh my gosh.
They're great, aren't they? They should stick around. They totally should stick around.
Best thing ever. So we had Yak and Yeti, which we'd never done before. Again, another first time thing for us. And it was delicious. And my 10-year-old made use of his meal credit and ate half a rack of ribs by himself.
Wow. He's like, I'm on the plan. Like, sir, we don't have a plan right now. No, I am on the plan. Bring the ribs.
He's like, bring it right here. So anyway, we went back early that night and had dessert in our room. We picked up some dessert down at the store there at the resort at Boardwalk, which I'm not as familiar with as I am at Poly. I can't remember the name of it.
Is it Thimbles and something? I'm trying to remember outside what it says something. It's two words. I can't remember either. It doesn't matter. It's right there.
I don't remember, but we grabbed some fun desserts there and then the kids wanted to swim. So, because we'd been staring at this wonderful pool for 3 days and it was time to get in it.
It used to be the clown pool, and that's the Keister Coaster.
Yes. Yes. It was already the Keister Coaster when we got there, and they loved it. It got rave reviews. In fact, someone said it might be a better slide than the one through the volcano at Poly.
It's pretty cool. I've been down both, and I would give the Keister Coaster, formerly getting spat out of a clown's mouth pool, the nod. I think it's pretty cool. I like it over there.
Yeah, they liked it a lot. Magic Kingdom was our last day, and we just did all the typical things we always do at Magic Kingdom. Enjoyed character cavalcades a lot. We got there, like when we got to the park, it was not busy at all. Like, we have pictures where we are pretty much the only people walking through Frontierland. Like,
wow, that's awesome.
It was, my 15-year-old was like, this is so weird. Yeah, this is so weird.
I would be like, don't get used to it, but enjoy it, but don't get used to it.
Yeah, just enjoy it. But then I would say probably by like 10:30-ish, because we got there about 8:15. By 10:30-ish, it started kind of picking up a little bit more. But we just did all of our typical Magic Kingdom things. There was not a ride that we wanted to ride that we weren't able to get on and off of within like 30 minutes.
So you're a planner, though, and you've confessed that a few times on today's show. Now, with the lack of Fast Pass, you still got through everything you wanted, but did it take you kind of, I think for me what it took was, because I'm a huge fan of Fast Pass, I like knowing, because I'm fine with doing like six or seven things, like three big things and just filling the rest of the day with minor things. I'm totally cool with that. That's my style. But when you get there without Fast Pass and you've been doing this for a decade, it's kind of startling because, like you said, like when you went into the studios that first day, you're just like, okay, where are we going? We don't have a plan.
Yeah.
We're just going to go where we go, which is kind of fun once you get used to it, but it takes like a mindset shift.
It does. Cause I am not an impulsive person. I'm not like a by the seat of my pants. Like, I get a little anxiety.
Same. Like, I need to know where I'm going. Like, tell me.
Yeah. Well, and that's why like Hollywood Studios, anytime we didn't know what to do, we were like, let's get in line for Slinky.
Yeah. Seriously. At least we're doing something. Yeah.
At least we have a plan and we're moving towards a goal or something. So for Magic Kingdom, I think we didn't really talk about it, but my husband is also a planner. So we just kind of started with Seven Dwarfs and moved to the left. Like, we did Seven Dwarfs and then we just moved on around until we ended up in Adventureland. Like, so we did that whole side. And then we had some lunch and then we moved over into the other side of the park. Because I feel like sometimes, especially when the kids were little, we would waste a lot of time ping-ponging.
Same. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason I know a lot of people park hop, and it's just never really worked for us. Partially probably because I am a planner and it stresses me out to think like we wouldn't get somewhere in time to do something. And we're perfectly I feel like we waste a lot of time if we're park hopping. Like,
there is transportation time, right? I mean, you're leaving the park, you're on a bus, you're entering a park. Yeah, I get it. Especially nowadays because you got temperature checks and all that.
It would probably be so much better now that they're older. But when they were little and there's a stroller in tow and that was just too much. I was like, we lost half a day. What are we doing? So anyway, it worked out really well for us to just kind of like be more logistic about it than planning out every event. So It worked well. And I feel like we got everything accomplished we wanted to get accomplished. We did all the mountains, which is always our goal. And then we wanted to end kind of peacefully and at one of our favorite places. So we had a Whispering Canyon reservation
evening. Hang on. Whispering Canyon and peaceful. First time that's ever been brought together in the history of our podcast. Not really. But, you know, well, that's fine. No, I get what you're saying.
Peaceful boat crowded. Ride, yes. I should
okay,
say.
Peaceful like, boat ride. I was like, and they're not doing the ketchup thing, so it's not as crazy as
they're
as
not.
Past,
it's yeah. not as crazy. So we love the boat ride over there. We love walking around that resort. It's just kind of a peaceful.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's beautiful.
It is. And we've never stayed there. You've probably heard of this place. Big Cedar mm-hmm. is very close to us. Mm-hmm. And we go there usually once a year. And it just kind of really reminds us of that atmosphere, which we really enjoy. So we went over there and Whispering Canyon was great. I think we were just kind of like, we had done everything we wanted to do in the park. And we were like, you know what, let's just head over. We're going to arrive early for our reservation, but we'll just walk around. And when we got there, we did kind of wander around, went in the gift shop, walked around that outside, and then my husband said, why don't you just go let them know we're here, and, you know, maybe if they can get us in early. We're about 30 minutes early, mm-hmm. I guess, but it wasn't busy at all. So I just walked up to the hostess stand and told them that we were there, and she was like, I can get you in if you're ready to eat. And I was
Let's eat.
I got hungry children. Let's do it. So it was like 5 minutes. We were seated and halfway through our meal before it was really even our reservation time.
That's such a bonus. Because then you get that that time gets shifted to the end of the day where you can, you know, go back and have some time in the pool or, you know, you get maybe packing or just having a more less chaotic night.
Well, and it just helped dinner kind of be a little, and the kids were hungry, right? Because we had had dinner and we had lunch, but it was a later dinner. So, mm-hmm. and they'd had a couple snacks, but I think we were kind of sugar crashing by that point. Like we needed some actual food in our body to keep everyone happy. So, and they have fond memories of Whispering Canyon because the first time we were there, the cast member that waited on us brought everybody shakes without being prompted.
Wow. And, that's nice.
And also dessert to go because she felt like they needed a dessert to go. So
and this cast member's name is? No, just kidding.
I know. She was fabulous. And I don't remember, which is so sad. But it was our first time to ever go to Whispering Canyon. And she just kept bringing my children stuff. And I was like, no, that's really enough now.
That's pretty sweet, though.
So I think in their brains, they were like, that's happening again.
We go to the restaurant where we get shakes and desserts and all that stuff. They just bring them to us. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So they did get their shakes again. They weren't brought unprompted, but they did have shakes again. And she was a fabulous cast member and just really good with the kids and addressing them and having fun with them. So, and even though it was indoor dining, like it was very spaced out. Like I felt totally comfortable with all the precautions they were taking and, it was the first time our dining at Disney was the first time we've dined in a restaurant in over a year. So that says a lot that we felt comfortable.
Right.
And doing that.
A lot of guests are kind of in that same boat. Like they haven't, because I work with a ton of guests at the Magic for Less. And it's like, we haven't eaten inside, but we might give it a shot there. And they come back and always, you know, ask like, okay, how did you feel? You know, I hope you felt comfortable. Like, what was your thoughts? And that's kind of the same thing. They said, you know, we did try an indoor restaurant and I felt okay. You know, again, you'll appreciate this again, anybody in education, is that they enforce things consistently. Mm-hmm. And there's physical reminders everywhere, not just the dots, you know, for physical distancing, but signage about, you know, washing your hands and about mask, your proper mask, not just having a mask on, but how to wear it, you know, what it has to cover, what it looks like. And I think, you know, as somebody that's worked in education, if you want to have your kids that you get in August, you know, function as a cohesive unit in February, it all starts with clear and very concrete expectations. And I think Disney's doing that very well for the guests. I mean, it helps me because you can't not know what to do.
Right. Well, and something I noticed that as a parent, I really appreciated, and I don't know, other parents might not, but my kids were really good about keeping their mask up and everything. But I did notice a cast member, we were in Hollywood Studios. There was a little girl whose mask was down and they directly addressed the child, not the parent. And as a parent, I like that because, you know, I might have told them 10 times to pull their mask up, but they didn't listen to me.
One cast member, it's a whoop.
Yeah, but someone in authority tells them, and the little girl just pulled it up and nothing, you know, but they did it very respectfully. Right. And, you know, princess, I'm going to need you to pull that up. Like,
yeah.
But as a parent, I kind of like sometimes that being taken off of my plate to have to keep enforcing that.
I'm with you. It's like, I told you. And then as soon as the cast member walks by, I told you 17 times to pull that mask over your nose.
Right. And you know, those things happen. Like we get sweaty and it slides down. Never intentional.
Right.
But yet, anyway, we did. We felt very comfortable. I've heard others say this, just more comfortable there than I do going to Walmart down the street, or I do going, I don't know. Target.
That's what it always says, Target. I don't know why. You know what?
Because they don't live here.
That's true. You live in Walmart world, but because you're in Bentonville. But the thing is, like, I don't know what Target's like on the inside anymore, because ever since the pandemic started and they just bring all your stuff to your car, that's the greatest thing ever. Yeah, just throw it in the trunk. I may never go in a store the rest of my life. That is the great. I know there's been a lot of stuff, but that is the greatest invention that has ever happened in the last 2 years. I'm like, I need soda. I need toothpaste. Show my phone. The trunk's open.
Yes. We have Walmart delivery, so that has been our. I'm like, leave it on the porch. Kids will bring it in. It'll be great.
Well, hey, we're running way long, and I appreciate the time for sharing this. But I want to wrap up with two things before we go. So, first of all, you got to give a shout out to the kids, because I know they're probably going to listen to the show and they're the star of this episode. So make sure you, I see one right there. I'm waving there's down there in Bentonville. Give them a shout out and so they can know that they were a part of the show, because they were definitely a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Caden is our 15-year-old. He's probably hiding in a room upstairs, because that's what he does now.
That's what they do.
But he still loves Disney. That magic we thought was going to be gone after the first trip is still there. He's still as much a planner of it as anyone else. And then this is Rylan. He's 10.
I've renamed him Mr. Rib by there. He's on the video. Yeah, he orders the ribs. That's right, Riblet. Okay, good.
Yes. And this is Nora. She's 9, and they are my co-planners for our Disney travel, I guess.
Nice. And she is the giraffe wrangler, I will call her.
Yes. She actually has decided she wants to be a vet after watching all of this Animal Kingdom.
That's great. That's great. Hey, the University of Missouri. I know you're in Arkansas. They have a great veterinary school. So I'm just saying, head north. We'll take it. Anyway, so one last thing, though. After all this trip, you've kind of mentioned a lot of stuff, but like one tip for somebody that's heading down, especially somebody that has kids your age, like, is there something that you would do differently, or something you would just like want to emphasize one more time for folks that are heading down maybe this spring or this summer that are in kind of a similar situation as you?
I think if you have kids who have gone a lot pre-COVID, it's super important to prepare them for what to expect this trip. And I know, like, I hadn't been, but I did listen to a lot of podcasts. Listening to your podcast, I think I told you in an email that my kids consider you and Ricky and Pam, like, their personal Disney gurus. So just share as much as you can about what to expect, so that we're not having meltdowns about what we thought was going to happen based on previous experiences. And I think also just kind of letting go, let go yourself. And follow where the fun is. Like, you know, I didn't expect to ride Slinky Dog Dash 3 times in one day, but it's a great memory. And COVID has taken a lot of things from us, but like, now we have this memory that we were able to do that 3 times in one day as a family. Like, we giggle about it. Like, maybe we can beat our record next time. So, you know, I see a lot of talk as I do follow a lot of Disney things about, well, I'm not going until this happens, and I'm not going until I can do this. And I guess my frame of mind is like, just think about what you can do and not what you can't do.
Agreed. I mean, I respect people that are waiting, because I get it. I mean, like, you know, Disney didn't drop the price because, you know, you're doing 80% of the things are open. I mean, I understand if people are riding it out, that's, I'm with you.
Right, but, you know, your choice. You got to do what you're comfortable with.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm one of those people just like you, like, you know what? 80% of Disney is better than 100% of this house. I just gotta, right. I gotta get out of here. Like, it's
just, we had a whole lot of DVC points that were about to just go out the window. We were like, okay.
Saying, I gotta do something. Okay, well, hey,
we have to do something.
I gotta wrap this one, but hey, it's been so much fun, Missy. Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for letting us, you know, hear all the stories of your kids. And I sure appreciate it. So I know you probably have another trip planned sometime soon, but when you get back, we'll have to talk about it again.
4th of July, baby. We'll be there.
Hey, I'll be there right afterwards. Sounds good to me.
All right.
All right.
Have a great trip in April. Bye.
I sure will. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials there. And while you're there, if you're heading down to Walt Disney World, piece of cake. Fill out the free no obligation quote form. Mention the show. It'll come straight to me. We'll plan a great vacation, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland soon. We have Adventures by Disney even into 2022 right now. We've been working on those a lot this past week. And Disney Cruise Line. Those ships are just like they're at the starting line. They're so close. But we can book cruises all the way through September of 22 right now. So check them out over at themagicforless.com. Also, hey, a free way to support the show is to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. If you could bookmark that and use that anytime you shop online, it really does help support the show. It's one extra click, no fuss, no muss, anything like that. You get your Prime benefits. Just use brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And again, a huge shout out to our patrons. You guys are carrying the show and allowing us to do 4 shows a week here on the feed, which I hope you enjoy each and every one of those. And if you're a patron, you get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. It's kind of a podcast about just me talking about stories growing up, about doing the podcast, about running, about just stuff I've done in general. It's a lot of fun, I think. And, you know, we have fun conversations. We have a private Discord server as well. So if you'd like to become a patron and help us do what we do, it's sure appreciated. Just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at beourguestmike and at beourguestpod. And of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. And you can see all the video that goes along with this. You probably don't want to see me, but you can see our guests, and that's always a lot of fun as well. One last thing, join us this Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, just 6 days from today. We have you, me, and Scotty G. We open up the phone lines. You are the star of the show. We go over the Disney news of the week, then we open the phone lines and talk all about it with anybody that wants to give us a call. We love it because we get more voices on during that show than any show of the week, and we love talking Disney with our listeners. So again, this Sunday night, YouTube and Facebook, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Please do plan to join us. We love talking to you. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. We thank you so much for spending your Monday with us, and we hope that you have a great and productive week. So for Mike and Missy, I'm wishing you an awesome week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.